Tonight, Alyssa McCook is going to talk about how God is incomprehensible, the God of infinite mystery. And I can't get my pages separate here. I know that Alyssa is going to tell us a little bit about herself. Alyssa McCook is married to Matt McCook. And if you come on Sunday night, you know that he leads singing a lot. They have three children. Colin, who is married to Arden Miller, and is a senior music major at Hardin University. And then there's Katie, a sophomore education major at OC, and Jackson, a sophomore at Edmond Memorial. They've lived in Edmond for 23 years. Alyssa is a special education teacher at Chisholm Elementary. She focuses on helping students with reading fluency, reading comprehension, math skills, and social emotional needs. Her favorite things to do outside of teaching are reading, walking, listening to podcasts, and exploring the great state of Oklahoma. And so let's welcome Alyssa McCook.
Okay, I'm here. Elephants here with their feet. Mary really did have a little lamb. There are 7,500 varieties of apples in the world. Oh, let me get my prop. Hold on. Every big pin has two tiny holes in it. And Rory Rosenbaum likes sauerkraut. Good evening. I'm honored that the Women's Ministry Committee has asked me to speak to you tonight on Incomprehensible, the God of Infinite Mysteries. I was born and raised in Abilene, Texas. I had an idyllic childhood. I loved my mom and dad. I loved my house. I loved my school and my friends. I loved my church and my youth group, and I thought I would never leave Abilene. In fact, I prayed for it. I wanted to live there and be close to my mom and dad forever. Well, after high school, I went to Abilene Christian University, which was just 15 minutes across town from my parents, and I met Matt McCook my first day on campus in the ID office. I know, he really is adorable. And yes, I was a boathead. And apparently in 1992, students at ACU walked around campus with our social security numbers on our ID cards. So just in case anyone in here is into identity theft, I had to block it out. So this is our ID. And our friend groups hung out together, but we didn't start dating until my sophomore year, which was his junior year. And while we were dating, we started talking about more serious future things. And in the Bible building at ACU, there's an atrium right outside the chapel on the hill. And inside the atrium is a gigantic globe, so big it goes up two stories and it rotates. So we would start at the bottom of the staircase. This is the game we played. Start at the bottom of the staircase, race to the top. He won. And then we would turn and look, and whatever city, state, country we saw, that's where we were going to live when we got married. So we'd race to the top, and every single time, I saw Abilene, Texas. Every single time. And Matt really, like, pointed out whatever he saw, like Zambia, or, you know, I don't think he ever mentioned Edmond, Oklahoma, but, you know, he would point out, like, Ohio, we're going to go live in New York. And I just silently thought, well, he doesn't know on the side that I am praying that we're going to live in Abilene, Texas. So. Anyway, in December of 1995, wait a second, I didn't advance. Here's the giant globe. In December of 1995, we got married, and I only had one semester left of school, which was student teaching. In 1996, the education system was saturated with teachers, and that right now is incomprehensible. But it was hard to get a teaching job, and especially two. So we spent our first 3 years of marriage in Houston, Texas, and worshiped at the Bamble Road Church of Christ. my world expanded. We love living there. Matt taught high school history and psychology, and I taught second grade. We had a great young couples class at church, and we still are in touch with those friends from our Houston days. Well, during our time in Houston, Matt worked on his master's degree in history part-time. And can we just pause for a moment and celebrate the Olin Mills church directory picture? I would love to bring those back. I love a picture directory, and I love Olin Mills. Well, once he finished that, we were off to Tallahassee, Florida, where Matt started working on his PhD in American religious history full-time at Florida State University, and I taught second grade. And by the way, when I picked out this picture, this is a side note, I picked out this picture, Matt was like, I can't believe I wore a shirt that matched you. Like, we were young and in love, and this is what we did. Anyway, we worshiped at the Timber Lane Church of Christ, and we loved living there. There was no young couples class. There was just class. We got to know so many people of different ages, and it was fantastic. We truly learned about hospitality. Not only were we invited into other people's homes often, but people wanted to come where we lived too, and we were renting a small two-bedroom townhouse. But it didn't seem to matter. People just wanted to cram into the bottom floor, and as long as we were together, that was just the best thing. We lived there 3 years, and we loved it. And my world had expanded again. Matt started job hunting when he was ABD, which means all but dissertation, and his goal was to work at a Christian university. And my goal was for him to get a job and for us to have babies. So that led us to Oklahoma Christian University and Memorial Road Church of Christ. We've been here since 2002. And Matt teaches American history at OC, and I'm a special education teacher. Well, after being at a small church in Florida, we weren't really looking for a big church like Memorial Road. But we visited and liked the people we met. And by the way, I'll just say, because my realtor's in the room, she also had an influence on us coming here. But we visited other churches too. But here's the thing. The ladies at Memorial Road just kept inviting me to stuff. Inviting me to BK groups, and I didn't even know what BK stood for. They'd invite me to go to the movies with them, exercise classes, go on walks, shopping in downtown Edmond. And before we knew it, this was our home, and we thought, well, we keep just doing stuff with these people. We should place membership here. So this became our home, and I'm so grateful to those ladies way back in 2002. We've had all our babies here. We love living here. We love worshiping here. We love just doing life with all of you. Okay, next picture. Okay, so here's our family now. One baby is married to another baby from this church. Colin has married Arden Miller. And Katie is a sophomore at OC. And Jackson is a sophomore in high school and learning to drive. Bless us all. Bless you all. Truly, my world has expanded. So as I studied for this lesson, one of the exercises in this book said to pray for this, to ask God for humility to see myself as a poor expert on him. And I'll tell you, that was no problem. I am no expert. But I still went ahead with a prayer, and I've been praying that since this summer when I read the book where this lesson is based. So this is where the prayer led me on my study of God is incomprehensible. He is the God of infinite mystery. Well, I told you that I'm a teacher, and truthfully, my training is in elementary education, early childhood, and leadership. But as a teacher, and now a special education teacher, I help students who have trouble comprehending things. So after a student has developed some reading fluency, it's time to start working on comprehension. They can read the words on the page, but do they know what they are reading? So we're going to dissect this passage, as I would, with a small group of students. We're going to be in Job chapter 11. Isn't this story in the Bible incomprehensible? Can you imagine all the loss that Job had? I don't want to imagine. But aren't we glad we have this story to help us through hard times? Well, at this point in the book of Job, the reader has heard from friend number one and friend number two, and now the reader is at friend number three. And they are all here giving their reasons as to why Job's life is falling apart. Job's friend, friend number three, Zophar, is up next. Now, Zophar is not all wrong. In fact, I love this part here because here he is speaking the truth about God. Starting in chapter 7. Can you fathom the mysteries of God? Can you probe the limits of the Almighty? They are higher than the heavens above. What can you do? They are deeper than the depth below. What can you know? Their measure is longer than the earth and wider than the sea. As a reading comprehension teacher, we must first talk about vocabulary and what certain words stand out and discuss their meaning. So these are the key words that stick out to me. Fathom, mysteries, limits, higher than heaven, deeper than the depths below, measure is longer than the earth and wider than the sea. For us tonight, these words help us define incomprehensible. Well, let's look at the dictionary definition of incomprehensible. Incomprehensible means not able to be understood. Well, Marianne laid the groundwork and set the tone for this quarter. And last week, Megan helped us consider that God cannot be measured. And you will keep hearing the word infinite this whole quarter. Because as I looked through this list here, of all the ladies that are going to speak to you tonight, the adjective is always infinite. Tonight, the God of infinite mystery. Next week, the God of infinite creativity, infinite provision, infinite days, infinite sameness, infinite place, infinite knowledge, infinite power, and infinite rule. So really, we had to have Megan's lesson to help us know that measuring or not measuring God is the word infinite. Because we tend to learn more about God this quarter, we must think about how his limitlessness affects his knowability. Knowing who God is matters to us. We cannot understand our own limitedness rightly until we can see it compared to God's limitlessness. Because he is limitless, the knowledge of who he is stretches to infinity. The human mind and its finiteness cannot fully comprehend or express an infinite God. God is incomprehensible. This does not mean that he's not knowable, but that he is unable to be fully known. It is our joyful duty, the delightful task of we, his children, to spend our lives discovering who he is. The way we discover is by getting ourselves into the Word. And according to Jesus, knowing God is the fundamental aim of life. So here, in John 17:3, we're going to jump into Jesus' prayer. He says, "Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." That's Jesus' prayer, that we know you, him. The truth of who God is surrounds us. Marianne told us in our intro lesson that all people have some knowledge of God just by looking around at creation. She showed us beautiful pictures of the Grand Canyon. And Megan talked to us about moments that give us God bumps. The believer receives even deeper knowledge of God found within the pages of the Bible. Across 66 books, we can read the story of who he is, what he has done, and what he will yet do. But even with creation to see and scripture to read, our mind is finite, and we cannot fully comprehend an infinite God. But because God is infinitely good, that means the things we don't know about him, the things we don't know about God, are only good things. Now tonight, you learned a little bit about me. But if you were to learn everything that you don't know about me, you would learn both good and bad. Because God is infinite, he is incomprehensible, unable to be fully known. Because I and we are finite, we are able to be fully known. Well, at different points in my life, I have taken personality tests. And I find out things about myself or my personality that I like, that I love, that I want people to know about me. But these personality tests also assess my weaknesses. And I feel embarrassed, and I don't like those parts about me. If a personality test can do that, and people know my personality type, they would also know all my shortcomings. I am knowable, and you are knowable completely. God is not only an expert on God, he's also an expert on me and you. In Psalm 139:1-6, David writes, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You know, you perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain." God knows the best of us and the worst of us. Nothing is hidden before him. He loves us so much, the good and the bad, that he gave his son to die for us so that we might have eternal life with him. David wrote the psalm. He trusts God with all the things he does know, and he leaves the unknowns to God. God is sovereign over it all and can be trusted with the outcome. When I remind myself of this, it sets my mind at ease. God is sovereign over it all and can be trusted with the outcome. No, I'm not an expert on myself. Sometimes I don't know why I do the things I do, but God is an expert on me, and God is an expert on you. And I'm not an expert on God, only God is. 1 Corinthians 13:12 says, "For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known." Right now, we are still finite women seeking to comprehend the infinite. But one day we will see him face to face, and then we shall know fully. Well, around 15 years ago, my third baby, Jackson, was about 9 months old. He was my roundest baby. He ate green peas like they were candy. And if I would have given him sauerkraut, he probably would have eaten that too. Well, we found out Jackson has severe food allergies, and we had to remove all those fun things he was eating, especially the green peas. When a baby's palm of their hand turns bright red, or they get hives above their eyebrows, that is a sign to stop feeding them that item. So taking away his most favorite foods meant my sweet baby was not happy with us at mealtime. I had taught all my babies some sign language, and he would do this. And he was saying more and pointing at the refrigerator. And then I would just go, "No, this is what we're eating tonight, babe." And he would do this. Did you know that 9-month-old babies can give the look of a teenager? They can. He just did not understand why mommy had taken away not only his beloved peas, but also a slew of other foods. So a few months went on, and Matt and I struggled to find stuff that the boy could eat and would eat. And slowly, my round baby became skeletal, and he was labeled failure to thrive. Well, back in 2010, we had no Whole Foods, no Sprouts. There was no infant dietitian in the Oklahoma City area. There was no dietitian in the area that was comfortable seeing such a young baby, and especially a baby that was losing weight. Hold on, I'm okay. This led us to Children's Hospital in Dallas, and we had an appointment with a dietitian, and she was an expert on babies that needed to gain weight. And after that appointment, I came away so relieved and thrilled that we could nourish our child. It was with this. An amino acid elemental-based formula called Elicare Junior. And it was this much money. But it was covered by insurance if your child had a need. And because he had the diagnosis of failure to thrive and severe food allergies, he was going to get Elicare. So we returned to Edmond with our prescription for this formula and a cooler full of food from the Whole Foods in Dallas. And things were looking up, and I was feeling so thankful. But my first sign of trouble was at the pharmacy, when the sweet pharmacist told me that insurance was not going to cover this. Well, I tried to explain to her my situation, and then she just told me I need to talk to the insurance company. And to make a very long story short, they were not, and in fact could not, cover the formula. In the state of Oklahoma, not Texas, where we had seen the dietitian, but in the state of Oklahoma, even if a child had a medical need like Jackson, they would only cover the formula if he could not drink it by mouth, if he had a feeding tube. So no, that wasn't our Jackson. He was healthy enough to drink it. He didn't need a feeding tube. Well, our dietitian had told us that typical babies were on this formula for about 6 months, and then they were back on the growth chart. So Matt and I bought our first case of Elicare Junior out of pocket, totally worth it. We would do it again if we had to. Luckily, Jackson loved this formula and drank it as a supplement to his food. At the next weigh-in, we were told to get more food in him and double up on the formula. So behind the scenes, I kept calling the insurance company and talking to different people who would tell me different things. And one thing they said is, your insurance will pay for Jackson to get a feeding tube, and then they will pay for him to have the formula. And I just kept saying, I'm sorry, what? This was incomprehensible. No, we're not going to do that. Matt and I kept praying and buying the formula. Well, in the summer of 2010, we decided a staycation was in order due to the unexpected and continual expense of this formula. One of our outings was to the state capitol and the governor's mansion. As Matt and I were talking to our kiddos about what representatives and senators do, I had a feeling, and it was a, I don't want to do this feeling, but I recognized it as a prompting from the Lord. And I told Matt about my feeling, and he said, well-behaved women rarely make history. No, that's not really what he said. He said, let's pray about it. So we did, and the feeling did not go away. So soon after, I was making appointments and meetings with the state representative and senator to talk to them about how in Oklahoma insurance would not cover a medically necessary food item unless you had a feeding tube, which was not medically necessary for our child. And soon after that, I was meeting with a bill writer and finding other moms with kids with severe food allergies. And suddenly I had a lobbyist and an interest group and a news story with a tenacious reporter who told about our grassroots initiative and our sweet, still failure to thrive baby. All the while, we are still buying formula and praying. And time was marching on, and then the Jackson bill, that's what we called it, the Jackson bill was read from the Senate floor and sent to committee. And there it stayed, and there it died. But what I learned about this was that historically in Oklahoma, there are no medical mandates stating what insurance companies have to do. Basically, it's too big of a risk for too little of a population. So I was sad, and I prayed, and I said, Lord, I thought you wanted me to help Jackson and kids like Jackson. I thought you sent me on this mission. I did not want to do this. This was not my plan. Well, then the Tenacious reporter called me. And she said that a mom who had seen Jackson's story on the news contacted the station. And this is what she said. I have a whole box of Ellicare Jr. sitting in my pantry. I've been praying for God to send me the child to give it to. Aww. What? This was unbelievable. She wanted to meet me and Jackson. What? Well, we received a whole case of this life-giving formula from the stranger for free. Her child did have a feeding tube, but the formula was not agreeing with her child. So the doctor had switched brands, and she was left with these, and she didn't know what to do with them. The stranger invited me and Jackson to a support group for moms with kids that had issues. I went, and there I sat in a room full of strangers, and I shared Jackson's story. This new friend had told the group about me and about the Jackson bill. And after the group was over, another mom stayed behind to visit with me. And she invited me to have lunch with her and her children in Moore sometime soon. And I said yes. Well, eventually, I met her and her children, and we visited and talked, and our kids played together. This new friend asked if I wouldn't mind coming to her house to pick up something she wanted to give me. I thought she was going to give Katie a princess dress that her daughter had outgrown, because we talked about that at the park. And as I parked in her driveway, she said, wait right here. And she opened her garage, and there were cases and cases of Ellicare Jr. This was a God bump moment. I was very confused as to why she had all these boxes and what was going on. Was she like an Ellicare formula dealer? What was this? I mean, I just don't know why other people would have this. And I've now met two people who also had kids that needed this. So she went on to tell me about her medically fragile child who received Ellicare Jr. from a feeding tube. Their insurance company had it on automatic refill, and they had so many, they did not know what to do with them all. And like the first stranger, she had also been praying to find just the right person. So a typical baby, toddler, stays on this type of formula for about 6 months. Jackson stayed on it for 4.5 years. After that meeting, Matt and I never paid for Ellicare Jr. again. He was in pre-K when he drank his last special drink. And Jackson made it onto the growth chart again, and he dropped the label failure to thrive. He was small but mighty, and he had and has a large personality. We have stayed in touch with his family and more. And when Jackson was about 8 or 9, Matt and I thought, what if we did something special for them? What if we like gave them a cash donation as a surprise, kind of like paying back for all that formula we had gotten for free for 4 years? Well, we sat down with a calculator and added it all up, and our bank account wasn't that big. To pay them back, we would have needed to pay them $95,000-ish. So now it's been 11 years since he's had his last special drink, and I still thank God for the specific way he revealed himself to us. God's ways are vast and mysterious. Some might say incomprehensible. I do not understand them, but I trust that he does know what is best. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Well, elephants have such large ears, but I don't comprehend that they don't only use those, but their feet to hear. Mary did have a little lamb. In 1806, it did follow her to school one day. Her teacher thought it was so funny that he wrote a poem about it, and it was later turned into a nursery rhyme and song. So if you tried a new apple every day, it would take you 20 years to try them all. And the two tiny holes in every Bic pen ensure that the air pressure is the same both inside and outside, so the ink goes all the way to the tip. And bless all the people who love and eat sauerkraut. I am not one of those people. I have learned to trust and say, not my will, but yours. I don't comprehend, but I trust. I thought I wanted to live in Abilene forever. But if God had answered that prayer in the way I wanted, I would have missed out on so much richness in my life. So our mission here at Memorial Road is to imitate Christ by living good lives, doing good works, and sharing the good news. I am blessed to live and serve along each of you. Now, until our day when we meet Jesus face to face, let us pursue with eagerness what we can know of him in this life. Please pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for fully knowing us. Thank you for fully accepting and adopting us into your family. We praise you that you exceed our comprehension. Thank you for this body of believers. We ask in Jesus' name for all the matters on our hearts tonight, for us to give those burdens over to you. You know us. You know our good deeds. You know our struggles. Thank you so much for revealing yourself to us in ways we don't yet comprehend. Help us to strive to live our lives in a way that your light shines. Amen.
Wow. That is an incredible story that demonstrates what an incredible God that we have. You couldn't have planned it out, but he knew all along. And you know, I'm thinking, we've got just a little bit of time. I'm thinking there's other people in this audience. If you have a question, we'll be sure and fill that. If you have something that you want to share where you saw God work in an incomprehensible way, I'd love for you to share that with us tonight. Let me share something, then. I think it was in 2003. I was at that time working in the church office. Kent Allen was the pulpit minister. And my son, he was married, no children at the time, went to Frederick, Maryland to visit her family over the Christmas holidays. And while he was there, he got very, very sick. He got sick. We didn't know it at the time. It was a sepsis. And he went to the hospital. Some of you out there remember that, and you prayed for him. And God took care of him. God took care of him. But when I got the call from his mother-in-law, she said, I just want you to know that he's sick. And I think it's the flu because other people have been sick, but he's not getting there. I just want you to know. And so Randy and I talked about it, and we decided, well, do I go out there or do I stay? And we decided we don't want to regret not going out there if I need to go out there. So we'd already decided I was going to go, and she called the next day, and she said the doctor called them back, their family doctor, and he said, I want to see him in my office. And she said, I don't think we can get him down the stairs. He's so weak. But he said, you bring him to my office. And they did. And he went from the doctor's office into the hospital. And I was on my way. And a couple of things. I think it was just God. On the way out there, I thought, I don't want to talk to anybody because I'll lose it. And so we flew one leg of it, and then it stopped, and then someone else got on board, said in the seat beside me, And it was a gentleman about maybe just a little older than my son. And we got to talking, and there was a big football game that was going to come up that I know my son would be interested in. And he was one fan, and we just got to talking. And I told him what, where I was going, the circumstances. And when he left, he says, I'll be, you know, he was just really encouraging. I thought, God put that person right there, and that was so encouraging for me. And the other instance, we got there, and he was well taken care of, but at one point, it became obvious that he was hemorrhaging, so that they took him up to ICU. And was in the waiting room. And at that time, there was people there, and there was a desk, but there was nobody at the desk. And the phone was ringing, so I answered it. I said, that's what you do with the phone. You know, it wasn't in my pocket in those days. It was on the desk. So I answered it, and I said, hello. And Kit Allen's voice said, Barbara. And you have to think, Linda Wheeler and I shared a position at that time, and I never talked to Kent, and I never talked to Linda. I called her, but I left a message that said, I'm going to Maryland, because my son's really sick, so I never really talked to him. But I said, hello. He said, Barbara. I said, Kent. And he wanted to know how it was going on, and I told him and everything. He says, we're praying for you. And how did that happen? God made that happen. He did that for me. He did that for me. And the end of the story is, my son recovered. He's doing well, very well. He has a wonderful life with a wonderful wife in Austin and four marvelous grandchildren. So God is so good. He's incomprehensible. He is so big, but he can come down so little sometimes. Every little thing. Every little thing. God is good. And if we're looking, we see evidence of that every day. So, well, those are two big stories. We're open to other big stories, even little stories. You know, it doesn't have to be a big thing. Just a little thing that comforts. Does anybody else want to share?
Barbara, you could tell them about your mother's adventure.
Oh.
And God took good care of her.
Okay. God looked after my mother. Okay. Yeah, I got time for this. My mother just turned 94 in July. This is in 2025. But in December of 2023... my mother was living, I told her she was living independently in assisted care because she was pretty capable and everything. But one late afternoon, early evening, I got a call and on my cell phone, and it said Nelda Epley, which is my mother's name. So I answered it. I expected to hear her voice. I said, hello, mother. No, this is Kathy, which was the nurse at the facility. And she said, your mother's speech was not right, and so we called the paramedic, and they're looking her over. And then she handed the phone to my mom, and I talked to her, and I could tell her speech was not right. It wasn't right. And then the paramedic got on the phone. He said, well, I've tested her, and it doesn't seem like she's had a stroke, but we're going to send her to the hospital just to make sure. So they took her to the ER in hospital in Plano, Texas. And mother called me later. It's amazing. Mother, all her things, she's always got her cell phone. She had her cell phone with her. And she called me. And she sounded good. And it was a really cold night that night. And she said they were really busy. She said, and I said, well, when they find out something, give me a call. And I talked to her later. She said, well, they said they'll put me in a room. So we thought she was going to spend the night. And so I went to bed that night. Oh, she's going to be taken care of. Went to bed feeling good. About 1:30, my cell phone rang, phone rang, and it woke me up. I didn't answer it in time, but I thought, could that be my mom? Maybe I need to call her back. But then it rang again, and it said, Nelda. I said, hello, Barbara, you're not going to believe what happened. I got kidnapped in an ambulance, but I'm okay. I'm a survivor. And then I hear this voice says, yes, this is Sergeant so-and-so. I don't remember his name. He said, and we chased your mom's ambulance from Plano to downtown Dallas. But I see your voice. It's okay. It really happened. But she's okay, and we're going to make sure she gets home. I said, well, thank you very much. And so I put the phone down, and it rang again. I said, hello, is this Barbara Heath? Yes, it is. Well, this is Nurse so-and-so from Plano Presbyterian, and I just want you to know that one of our mental patients took your mom's ambulance, but the police have caught up with her, and she's okay. I said, well, actually, I just talked to her, and she's okay, but thank you very much. And so I was getting back in bed, and Randy says, what's going on? I said, you are not going to do this.
So are you
going to
sing the song you wrote?
I do have a copy of it in my purse. I carry it around because I do have requests for it. Anyway, let me get it. And I'm not a sinner, but anyway. So I called Mother the next morning, and I got the rest of the story. She said she thought she was on an ambulance run. And the ambulance, they put the gurney inside, and they just took off. She said it was so cold. She hollered, it's cold in here. But no answer. She said the doors were flopping, but they went around one corner real fast, and one door shut, and then he hit a bump, the other door shut. So she's okay. She's okay. So anyway, that's her story. She did get a letter from the district attorney that summer, or she called and said, wanted to know how she was doing, and she said, and he told her that, I think the guy was on drugs, and he's going to prison. But I kept thinking, this is a crazy story. It's like Grandma got ran over by a reindeer or something, you know? So I made a little song for Mother, and Randy did it. And I sent it to her. She showed it to everybody, even at church. And I went to her facility one time, and she's, oh, you're the one that did the song. So, okay. Okay, are you ready for this? I'm not a singer. Okay, it's titled, Mother Got Transported by a Patient. To be sung to the tune of Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. Okay. Mother got transported by a patient. He got behind the wheel and then he sped. The nurse didn't know why he did it, but knew he wasn't quite right in the head. She had been heard to have her speech slurred, so the medic said to go. And even if she seemed all right, still, he said, we really need to know. She checked out okay at ER, and they meant to send her home. They had no thought of ambulance would do a high-speed roam. When they found her down in Dallas, at the end of the attack, as she lay upon the gurney, the police arranged to have her taken back. After Mother got transported by a patient, he got behind the wheel and then he sped. The nurse didn't know why he did it, but knew he wasn't quite right in the head. Now we're all so proud of Mother. She's been taking this so well. Not even her blood pressure. If you didn't know, you really could not tell. I've warned all my friends and neighbors, better watch and stay aware. You should never call for transport if the driver is a patient under care. Mother got transported by a patient. He got behind the wheel and then he sped. The nurse didn't know why he did it, but knew he wasn't quite right in the head. The end, a very happy ending. I don't think that was on the program for tonight. We're going to end with that. Y'all have a wonderful evening.